You know, the Lord never ceases to amaze us, and he's always doing something very different than we'd expect. So if you will repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I thank you that I have eyes that see. I have ears that hear. What your Spirit is making me see and making me hear. For your glory. Amen?
Amen.
And amen. I want to take you to Luke. St. Luke. And we're going to be looking at chapter 2. And we're going to take a peek a little bit at the eighth day, which is also the new beginning. See, there was laws in the Jewish customs that were instituted by God to do certain things on certain days after a baby was born. So on the eighth day, verse 21, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. Now notice, do you think that he needed to be circumcised?
Do I think he needed to be circumcised? No.
No. Why was he circumcised?
It was the Jewish custom.
Because of the Jewish custom, correct. And his father, stepfather, including his heavenly father, had to allow it. Because there was a purpose. Now, verse 22, when the time of purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now, believe it or not, where he was born in Bethlehem, going to Jerusalem is not very far. And verse 23 says that as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, he had pressed me to make sure that I would be prepared with the Amplified, because there's a couple of things in the Amplified that are not actually brought out unless you go to that amplification. Luke chapter 22 again and verse 23. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every first male that opens the womb, shall be set apart and dedicated and called holy to the Lord. That extra little piece of info is important because, again, God had a purpose. Everything that happened to Jesus was something for us to really look at so that we can also see we start opening the womb of the church. Because we are the corporate body of Jesus, are we not? When we look at ourselves, we don't see anything special about us, but the Holy Spirit is saying it's time for a new church to arise. A corporate church. A church that is important to every single member of that body of believers. That corporate flame that you saw swirling. On the day of Pentecost, what happened? The flame separated and went into each believer. Now it's being what? being what? It's being brought in. To make what?
One.
It hasn't happened for 2,000 years because they're still fighting each other. You're right, I'm wrong. You're wrong and I'm right. And God is saying silly, silly, silly people. Yeah. The only one that's really right is the Lord. The only one that has all the answers is Him. And corporately, we'll be able to do something that's never been done in 2,000 years. And what is that? Get along and fight against the darkness. Together. And as we become brighter and brighter in Christ, we will be able to have an example of love to the earth. So far, all we've got is an example of hatred and backbiting. Come on, and bigotry. Oh, I'm so holy. Yeah, right. Well, you're full of holes. I'm not being nice. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. Verse 24. And to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. 25. And there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. I love that part. He was righteous and... Verse 25, the amplification. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout. Added extra. Cautiously and carefully observing the divine law. What kind of law? The divine law. The divine law is the law of love. The church that's coming alive is coming out of the womb of the old to bring a divine love to to who? The world, yes, because God gave up His Son for the world. The church hates the world. Not the good idea. The world needs love. It cannot get along with judgment and criticalness and fault finding because all that does is produce more of the same. And we've had 2,000 years of the production of the old and it's obsolete. It's not from God. So if you've got a neighbor that's not behaving, the answer is love. If you've got a son or a granddaughter who's not behaving, the answer is
love.
It's not by fault finding that you're going to bring them into the kingdom. They can't stand that crap. I'm sorry. That's not. It must be holy stuff, okay? But it still smells.
Yes.
Thank you. So, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him. I love the idea that the Holy Spirit was upon him, not in him. And we've got a whole church out there that the Holy Spirit is on them and not acting through them because the fruits are not love.
Amen.
Hmm.
And isn't it getting worse? It's getting worse.
Thank you. And it's intended of God to be worse.
Apparently.
It has to get better only after they see themselves. 26. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's anointed, or Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, now I can just see myself and my wife, the first time we brought Ricky to be baptized, that somebody's inside of St. Anne's Church, grabs that baby and lifts him up, I think I would have screamed.
Amen.
Yeah, I would have. I would have said, don't you dare touch my baby. Why did the parents not scream?
They must have had a witness in some.
They had to have something within them that was saying, come on, pull back. The Holy Ghost was in that whole temple.
Pastor, that's what you did to my little one, Jenica. And she was not even three months old in her little car seat when I brought her to Grace Church.
Hallelujah.
Right up during the dinner.
Verse 29.
Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. So his first focus is on himself. His job has been completed. The moment he's been living for has now arrived. Verse 30, for my eyes have seen your salvation. So who's he focused on? Yeah, but it's first his eyes. He's focused on himself as well. It's not the neighbor's eyes that have seen his salvation. It's he's now knowing that God was right every step of the way, making him alive for a moment of salvation to be seen. And he was going to be able to see that maybe. Maybe. Why am I maybe? Because I'm sure he questioned his own sanity. Just like every one of us, we question our own sanity. How are you going to do this, God? How are you going to do these promises? When are you going to do them, Lord? You promised salvation to my whole house. When are they going to happen?
Amen.
Okay? For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. When is he going to save your family? In the sight of all people. Probably on the day you least expect. Verse 32 now is really prophetic. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. Now he's focused on the people of Israel, which is kind of cool. The child's father and the mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother. Notice he blessed both the parents. Right? Then spoke to the mother. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, to be a sign that will be spoken against. Now I'm going to give you the amplification of 34. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed and destined. Appointed and destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. In other words, somebody is going to have to pay a price when they hear what this man has to say, even though he's a baby at the moment. And for a sign that is spoken against. Why is it a sign that's going to be spoken against? Because he's going to tell them the truth and they don't like the truth. Some of you are not being appreciated because when you speak truth, you become an irritation to those that are religious.
Ooh.
So the corporate church is going to also produce what? An irritation to the regular church. And who's he going to use?
Us.
Us, yes. Corporately, he's going to use us. And it's going to cause the rising and the falling of
many.
So what happened to the firstborn son is going to happen to the corporate son. I'm trying to awaken to you that this is a prophetic word. We're out of the womb, girl. And we got some curly hair right now. I'm speaking, and you're hearing. Oh, women shouldn't be heard. They should only be looked at. But verse 36 says there was also a prophetess named Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. They usually got married at 14, so figure she was widowed at 21. So from 21 to 84, add up the numbers. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. They could have been redeemed if they would have accepted him. That was a prophetic word, but they chose to what? Reject him. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. I'll leave that with you. I'm trying to give you an understanding of what God is really trying to tell us in this season. The world retaliates against the church because the church is trying to hold on to tradition, when the Holy Ghost is in the middle of you and I, giving out words of wisdom and light to those that are broken and wondering, oh my God, if they've lost all their marbles. And that's what they were going to accuse you of. You lost your marbles. You've gone over the deep end. My word to you is this. It's bound to happen. The prophetic word will not go back void. But now would you do me a favor? Would you raise your right hand to the Lord and say, use me corporately to bring salvation and deliverance
to
every heart that I meet,
without condemning,
without fault finding. Let me pour love into them until they overflow. In Jesus' name,
I pray.
Blessings to you for the new year. May you know that you know that you know that it's the old has gone away and the new has arrived. Share some hugs with each other and know that you are loved.